Good morning and welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today we're going to be learning Divrei Hayomim Aleph Perek Ches, the 8th chapter of the first book of Divrei Hayomim. Our perek contains 40 psukim and is squarely about the topic of the houses on the houses within Binyamin, the tribe of Binyamin. We're going to look at it in a sequence and try to look at some of the ideas and some of the stories embedded in it as we've seen the rest of Divrei Hayomim. Although it may look like a dry list at the surface of it, there are many dramas which are hidden and embedded in it and many focus points which we're going to have to look at from the big picture as to why this perek is here. Let's start with the first two psukim, describe the family of Binyamin, and we hear about five of his children. Interesting point to notice is that Binyamin has already been addressed in the previous perek, in perek Zion, in a small section, and there we hear about three of his children. Here we hear about five of his children. The only overlapping name is Bela. Over there it's Bela, Vecher, and Yediael. Over here we hear about Bela, Ashbel, Achrach, Nocha, and Rapha. So how does this work? And to complicate things a little more is if you go to Bereshis Perek Memvov, when Bnei Yisrael are coming down to Egypt in Parshas Vayigash, we hear about 10 children of Binyamin, including Bela, Becha, Ashbel, Gera, Namon, Achi, Roish, Mupim, Chupin, and Ard. So how does that work? If you want to complicate it a little more, when you go to Parshas Pinchas, at the end of the stay in the desert, we hear about the children of Binyamin, and there we have a list of five. And those five are somewhat different to the five listed here. So how does this all hang together? It's one interesting thing to note is that we do hear about Shupim and Chupim in the last perek, in perek Zion of Divrei Hayomim. Those could amount to Mupim and Chupim, which are the two listed names. So there seems to be two extras also mentioned here in as well to sort of synthesize. But the Mefarshim deal with this. Most of the Mefarshim are trying to struggle with how it turned from 10 in Parshas Vayigash to only 5 in Parshas Pinchas. How does that work? So the Malbim in Bamidbar, as an example, quotes the Ramban, saying that Naaman and Ard, who were the two children of Binyamin, died prematurely without children, and Bela, the oldest, performed Yibum, marrying their wives, and naming their children Naaman and Ard, which means Naaman and Ard, in fact, are not the children of Binyamin, they're the grandchildren of Binyamin, named after their father, who died early. So that accounts for two names, which is why we're going to hear more about Bela's side of the family than we are going to hear about Ard and Naaman, because they're not really the children of Binyamin. Another suggestion which is brought up, the Radak suggests, that there was a terrible incident that occurred in the end of Parshas Balak, which is the episode of Baal Peor, when Bnei Yisrael strayed again to the daughters of Moab and Midian, amounting to pagan worship, and many people were killed in a plague. And at that point in time, that could account for some of the parts of the family of Binyamin being wiped out. The Ralbag suggests another intriguing suggestion, than the Ralbag's to be found here, where he says that if you notice, there was a cataclysmic event in the history of the tribe of Binyamin, and that was that during the end of the period of Shoftim, we hear about Pilegesh Begiva, where there's a civil war, wiping out almost entirely the Shevet of Binyamin. So it's very possible that in Divrei Hayomim, when we're giving an accounting for this, we're only talking about those who remained and afterwards as well. These are different ways of trying to synthesize the differences in terms of the actual names and children of Binyamin. We go on in the Perek and we hear about Perek Pasuk Gimel. We hear about the children of Bela, and they are Adar, Gera, and Avihud. And then we hear in different small sections about each of these children. So we hear first about the children of Avihud. And we're going to, in this section, we hear about some of them. One person's name is Gera. Gera should ring a bell because that's likely the father of the Shofet Ehud ben Gera, who was one of the earlier Shoftim in the book of Shoftim, and he came from the tribe of Binyamin. We do hear in Psukim Vov and Zion, in the section of the children of Avihud, we do hear about the idea of the Yoshve Geva Vayaglum El Monachas. They were exiled to a place called Monachas. So who was it who did it? Naaman, Achia, and Gera, Hu Heglam. So what does this mean? So the Ralbag says this was an internal family dispute, that one part of the family strong-armed another part of the family and moved them around. This is something which occurred internally. However, the Malbim says that no, maybe it's actually external. After the episode of Pilegesh Begiva, where Binyamin did not take responsibility for the rapists and murderers in their own midst, and Bnei Yisrael took about civil war to reprimand them and basically wipe them out, the remaining leaders in the small group of hundreds of men who were left were actually exiled from their areas because of their not taking responsibility, and therefore this refers to the Bnei Yisrael exiling parts of Binyamin. We now hear a paragraph from Psukim Ches Yud Gimel about the family of Shacharayim. We hear about how he gives birth in the Stei Moav, and we hear about a whole section of his different children as well. In this small section, it's worthwhile noting, as the Radak points out, that he has three wives, Shacharayim. He has one wife, Min Shilcho, and Chushim and Boara. So these are three different names of wives, and two, we hear about the generations of two of them. One of the curious things that Radak points out is that we don't actually hear about who Shacharayim is from before now. We don't know who his lineage and parentage is. Rashi says that maybe he was one of the Binyamin who was exiled to Moab because of the punishment of the Pelegash Begiva story as well. So maybe he's one of those exilees. The Chida, though, quotes Yerushalmi, who said that this is all a coded section. It's all referring to a hidden character. Shacharayim is not actually a child of Binyamin, and that's why it does not appear in the lineage of Binyamin. He is referring to Boaz. He was a person who was free from sin, and he went to stay Moab, to the fields of Moab, and he sent Shilchu Asam, that's a code name for how he sent Chushim Ba'ara to go and work out to explain the sugya of whether it's allowed to marry a Moabite woman and not. Vayoled men Chodesh Ishtoi, Chodesh Ishtoi refers to the idea that he was Mechadesh. He brought about a new halacha that it was only the Moabite men who are forbidden and not the Moabite women. This is a very fascinating suggestion, and this suggestion means to say that this whole section is allegorical, not referring to real people, but referring to a story which is unfolding. The question that would just be raised in this Yerushalmi is, why is the area of Boaz, which comes from the tribe of Yehuda and the Malchus Yehuda, why is that put into the section, embedded in the section of Binyamin? Just to various options as to how to read this. At the end of this little micro section, we do hear about some of the areas of Bria and Shema who pushed the areas into Ayalon, and they hivrichu es yoshve Gat. They pushed away the inhabitants of Gat. Gat is generally a Philistine city, but the Dat Mikra points out that it's not referring to that. It's referring to Gittaim, which was actually an Israelite city, which they reprised from the hands of Ephraim. So that means to say that Binyamin was able to expand their territory later on. Then we go through a few small sections where we hear, Psukim Yudalit to Tesai, and we hear about the children of Bria. Then in the Psukim Yudzayin to Yudches, we hear about the children of Elpoal. At the end of each section, it says B'nai, that describes who the parentage is. Then Psukim Yudtes to Chof Aleph, we hear about the children of Shimi. Then in the Psukim Chof Beis to Chof Hei, we hear about the children of Shoshak. And then in Psukim Chof Vav to Chof Zayin, we hear about the children of Yerocham. So we hear sort of small packets, small bubbles of different children in the house. And finally, the last section of Psukim Chof Ches, all the way to the end of the perek at Pasuk Mem, we hear about the base Sha'ul, the house leading to the children of Sha'ul. It's worthwhile noting that in Pasuk Chof Ches, we hear about the Avos L'Toldos Som Roshim Eile. We hear about these leaders, which were Yoshvu B'Yerushalayim, those who dwelled in Jerusalem. The next Pasuk describes Uve Givon Yoshvu, and there's another group of leaders who lived in Givon. That means to say, as is pointed out, that we know that Yerushalayim was subdivided between the tribes of Binyamin and Yehuda, and so in the section of Binyamin, was one of the seats of royalty of the leadership of Binyamin. But another seat of leadership is Givon. It's worthwhile noting that Givon was the area where the Bama HaGadola was. That's the great Mizbeach. When the Mishkan was destroyed at the times of Eli, they retained the Mizbeach in Givon, and ultimately David HaMelech brought the Aaron to Yerushalayim. So the one implement of the base of the Mishkan was in Givon, and the one was in Yerushalayim, and these were the two seats of power of where Binyamin was at this point in time. When Shlomo Melech gets his dream and he asks for wisdom, that happens in Givon. So this is a very significant area as well. And we see that the leaders of Binyamin are spread themselves among both of these things. And the Mitzvah points out that it wasn't fixed. So they could be Afheima, as the Pasuk points out. They were also Neged Achem Yashu Yerushalayim Achem. So it would be transient. They would spend time here, spend time there. It wasn't as if there was only one way of doing it. And then we hear about Shaul and his children, Yehonatan, his child Meriv Baal. Meriv Baal has children Micha, and Micha has children Pison, Melech, Tare, and Ochaz. And it goes on to describe all these generations, probably leading to the times of Ezra, which where we hear about all these the generations of Yonatan. It's interesting that Yonatan has a grandchild whose name is Melech. You wonder if there was perhaps sort of some sort of bitter remembering of what could have been, because Yonatan was the crown prince, although he was killed in battle, and David Melech ultimately took the mantle of leadership. It is interesting to know that one of the children of Yonatan is missing here, and that's Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth was the only surviving son of Yonatan. And so the Gemara points out, the Ralbag quotes the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Nun Vavamabez, that ultimately this person called Merivbal is actually Mephibosheth, the remaining son of David and of Yonatan. And why was it that he was called Merivbal? Because he complained against his master Hashem. He felt unjustly done by, that he had led such a difficult life. Remember that he was crippled at an early age when his nursemaid was carrying him, when she heard about the story of the death of his father, and he remained crippled for life. And, you know, so he lived a very negative life. He was supposed to be, you know, the family of royalty. And although he was supported by David HaMelech, but he complained about his situation, which is why maybe Mephibosheth is called Meriv Baal in this section as well. A few comments on the perek overall. Why are we repeating this from the previous perek? Meaning to say, we dealt with Binyamin somewhat and some of their warriors in the previous perek, in perek Zion. Why is it repeated here? So Rashi points out that the whole sole purpose of this perek is to get to Shaul HaMelech. And we're trying to get to Shaul HaMelech, which is then lay the groundwork for David HaMelech as well. So that seems to be the focus. The Da'at Mikra adds that the Dira Yamim as a whole starts with a detailed description of the families of Yehuda. Now it is ending this section of the Yichus with a detailed description of Binyamin. These are two tribes which form the remnant of Judea, the southern kingdom which remains beyond the exile of the Assyrians, and are going to ultimately be the main returners to Zion at the times of Shivat Zion. That's why these are focused upon in such detail as the book ends to this Yichus. We also see in the section an expansionism towards the west. Binyamin was allotted a certain area, but it seems that after the times of Yehoshua, he moves outwards towards the west, towards the west coast of Israel, into the territory of Dan. Another point that's also worthwhile noting as well in this section is that the focus on Binyamin here seems to be also on the idea that David HaMelech made a promise to the house of Yonatan to always be a Baal Bris with him, to always support them and not to fight with them. And David HaMelech kept his commitment, which is why we see that the generations of Yonatan were preserved and kept in good standing all the way till the times of Shivas Zion, which is an indicator not just of the success of the house of Shaul, but also the success of David HaMelech keeping his word as Melech Yisrael. This concludes Perek Ches. We have one last chapter which deals with the Sefer HaYichus before we get to the specific events in the life of David HaMelech. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.